You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Friday, July 2nd, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, we are going to take a look at a few things, including the upcoming series between the Orioles and the Angels. As the O's go to Anaheim for some late-night games this weekend, we'll get to see Shohei Ohtani play against the Orioles. He won't pitch this weekend, but he will be hitting, and he's been doing a lot of that lately. Orioles will also get to face Alex Cobb in an Angels uniform for the first time since the trade for Jahmy Jones this offseason. So we will talk about that series and preview it with Taylor Blake Ward, who covers the Angels and used to be the host of the Locked On Angels podcast. So that's coming up in a little bit. But before that, we are going to take a look at some of the roster moves that the Orioles made before Wednesday's game in Houston, before, of course, they completed the sweep over the Astros. Now, the guys they brought up, neither of those pitchers appeared in the game Wednesday, and we'll see if they stick on the roster for the weekend in Anaheim. But for now, they made a couple of moves and wanted to break those down on today's episode as well. So that is all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me every week to talk Orioles and get in on the action at Spotify Green Room. So after the O's had an off day yesterday, as it was their travel day to get from Houston to Anaheim, did want to talk about the roster moves that the Orioles made before Wednesday's series finale in Houston, because didn't get a chance to talk about them on yesterday's episode. Of course, if you did miss yesterday's episode, we broke down the Orioles' final win in Houston to sweep the series, and we had Zach Goodman on, who is the co-host of the Bat Around over at PressBox every Saturday morning. He joined me to give out some Orioles midseason awards. We are officially halfway through the season. Orioles have played 81 games. Of course, it hasn't been great. They're 27-54, but we gave out awards for MVP, Cy Young. We looked at the best reliever, most surprising, most disappointing, talked about some of the best and worst games the first half. One of our longer episodes that we've done, but it was a good one again with Zach Goodman, so that was from yesterday. Make sure to go check that one out. But because we did go so long, you know, didn't get a chance to talk about those roster moves from Wednesday, so didn't want to break them down and talk about, you know, how they might affect the Orioles at the moment. So the O's ended up adding two players to the active roster. Now, the first one is the right-handed pitcher Isaac Mattson, and he would be the one who would not be making his major league debut whenever he gets into a game again. Mattson, the 25-year-old right-hander who actually will turn 26 in just a couple weeks, who was one of the four pitchers that the Orioles acquired from the Angels in the Dylan Bundy trade a couple of years ago, former 19th round pick by the Angels out of Pitt in 2017. Now, he has spent pretty much the entire year at Norfolk, and it hasn't really been a great year so far for Isaac Mattson at AAA. Now, you know, he's had a little bit of an injury issue and he hasn't been used a whole lot. So, you know, only 11 games in relief for Mattson, and in 8 1/3 innings, he has allowed 8 runs on 16 hits. That's an 8.64 ERA, not great. But he has struck out 9 and walked only 3. So really the, you know, control hasn't been an issue, just a little bit of command issues sometimes and just giving up a lot of hits. And he's going to have to get those down. Now, of course, Mattson, however, did appear in one game already this season and has actually already made his major league debut for the Orioles. He was called up for the first time back in May and made his major league debut on May 7th against the Boston Red Sox at Camden Yards, worked 2/3 of an inning, allowing 1 run on 1 hit. He walked 1, did not strike anyone out, and that was the only game that the right-hander appeared in before the Orioles sent him back down to AAA Norfolk. He is and was already on the 40-man roster. It was one of the guys the Orioles protected from the Rule 5 draft and put onto the 40-man roster back in November. Of course, again, they got him in the Dylan Bundy trade. So Mattson is back up. You know, he has definitely been underperforming in AAA, but the hope is that he'll figure it out, because the Orioles, when they got him in trade, you know, Angels people liked him, Orioles people liked him. They think he can be, you know, a solid middle relief option at the major league level going forward. You know, he's not going to be a closer type, a fireman, you know, big high leverage guy, but the thought is that he can come in and, you know, kind of fill somewhat of a Sean Armstrong role in the bullpen, where he's never going to be your closer, but, you know, he could get some high leverage spots, but mostly just a solid middle reliever that you like to have. But he was not the only guy who the Orioles called up, and the other promotion was a guy who will be making his major league debut if he does get into a game before being sent down. And that is the 28-year-old right-handed pitcher Spencer Watkins, who was also recalled by the Orioles on Wednesday. Now, Watkins was one of the many minor league free agent signings that the Orioles made this offseason. They brought in the veteran righty on a minor league deal, as he had still not made it to this point to the major leagues. Watson was a guy who has spent a lot of time in the minors since he started in pro ball in 2014. He was not a high draft pick by any stretch of the imagination. 30th round pick by the Tigers in 2014 out of Western Oregon, you know, pitching below the Division I level. And, you know, he tried to really work his way through that Tigers system. And, you know, he did get all the way to the top of the system. Now, never got to the majors. But again, he did pitch in AAA in both 2018, where he made two starts in AAA. And then he spent most of the year of 2019 in AAA Toledo. But it didn't go well. In 77 innings, he had a 7.98 ERA at the AAA level. And the Tigers released him. They did not bring him back after 2020. And the Orioles scooped him up. And Watkins has actually been pretty good at AAA Norfolk. Now, you know, stories coming out after Watkins getting the call up that, you know, he was poised to take a high school baseball coaching job this offseason. Thought it was over, but the Orioles came calling with a minor league deal. He has been in Norfolk all year, and he's honestly been pretty solid. He's mostly been a part of the starting rotation. He's made 7 appearances, 6 of them starts. And Watkins with a 3.58 ERA on the season, 32 and two-thirds innings. He's allowed 13 runs on 25 hits. He has allowed 6 home runs, so the home run ball has gotten to him just a little bit so far. He has walked 11, but he has struck out 27 in 32 and two-thirds innings, which is a pretty nice number. Got very, very emotional on the Zoom call with the media before Wednesday's game after learning of the call-up. You could tell it means a lot to him, and hopefully he does get his chance to make his debut before he gets sent back down. But you know, for Watkins, the Orioles had to add him to the 40-man roster because he was a minor league signing. He was not on the 40-man. So they had to clear up a spot because the 40-man roster was full. And for, I believe, the third time in the last 2 years, the Orioles DFA'd Stevie Wilkerson. Now, of course, Stevie was sent down to AAA last week, but was kept on the 40-man roster in that move after he had really struggled in the big leagues this year. Since getting called up, he had played 30 games in Baltimore, was hitting just .167 with a .211 on base. He had no home runs, just 3 doubles out of the 12 hits he had, and he was playing mostly second base and was really struggling defensively as well. So the 29-year-old utility man has been DFA'd after, you know, he was hitting really well in Norfolk, and that was why he originally got called up to the Orioles after, you know, a good start to his season in AAA. But with how much he struggled in Camden Yards this year, and, you know, with his age and with the bat, and especially with the defense as well, I don't think anyone will claim Stevie Wilkerson, and it makes me believe he's probably going to end up passing through waivers and just going back down to AAA Norfolk, staying in the Orioles system, but not being on the 40-man roster anymore. But we will keep an eye on Stevie. But, you know, to get Watkins and Mattson on the active roster, Orioles also had to make a couple of moves on the active roster. And the first one was Travis Lakin Sr., the Orioles right-hander, the 27-year-old, was placed on the 10-day injured list with some right elbow pain that he actually left the game with on Tuesday night. Now, if you remember Tuesday night, Lakin's got his first start on the mound in an Oriole uniform, and he lasted only an inning and two-thirds. He walked 3 batters and just did not really look comfortable at times. And, you know, he has a 5.79 ERA in 28 innings this year after he had a 2.81 ERA with the Orioles in 26 innings in the 2020 season. So it's been two very different years for Travis Lakins. And so he'll go on the injured list. And, you know, it's just the 10-day IL for now, but Brandon Hyde said it's not looking good at the moment. So Lakins could be out for an extended amount of time. So he loses the one spot, and then the other spot was probably something we saw coming, and that was Alexander Wells, who was sent back down an option back to AAA Norfolk. Now, Wells, of course, was called up over the weekend and made 2 appearances out of the Oriole bullpen through 2 scoreless innings in Buffalo on Saturday, then followed it up on Tuesday, gave the Orioles some solid length out of the bullpen, gave up 2 runs over 2 2/3 against the Astros. And, you know, it was 2 solid appearances for the Orioles' number 17 ranked prospect, the 24-year-old lefty Alex Wells. But he is optioned back to AAA. He, again, stays on the 40-man roster, and we'll definitely see him back in the majors at some point this season. But those are the moves the Orioles made, and look for Mattson and Watkins to potentially appear this weekend in Anaheim. It would be pretty meaningful for both players. For Watkins, obviously, would be his major league debut, and, you know, 28-year-old, you know, career minor leaguer who's really grinded it out would obviously mean a lot to him. And then for Mattson, he would get to appear against the team that drafted him. Of course, you know, was drafted by the Angels before being traded to the Orioles for Dylan Bundy. So keep a lookout for those two righties who could be back in the mix for the Orioles this weekend. But speaking of this weekend, it is Orioles and Angels, and the O's will get to play Shohei Ohtani, who has been absolutely fantastic and is looking like maybe the front runner for AL MVP right now. Luckily, though, for the O's, Ohtani will not be pitching this weekend. But to find out who is pitching for the Angels and who besides Ohtani has really done the hitting for the Halos this season, Taylor Blake Ward is going to join us back on the podcast. He's been on this pod a few times before. He is the former host of the Locked On Angels podcast, but still covers the Angels in many different ways and knows the insights of this team. We are going to talk about the pitching matchups. We're going to talk about Ohtani. We're going to talk about all the old friends on the Angels, like, I don't know, Dylan Bundy, Alex Cobb, and Jose Iglesias, and how those trades have been seen by the Angels side of things since all of them happened. So that's all coming up with Taylor Blake Ward right after this break. So we'll get to our Orioles-Angels series preview in just a second, but first, today's episode is brought to you in part by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long-cut, and pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to without tobacco. Available in 9 flavors, Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine available. It's the only moist nicotine pouch on the market. All of the nicotine pouches are dry white pouches, nothing dips, spits, and packs like Fully Loaded. And Fully Loaded Chew is offering Locked On Orioles listeners a special offer. Right now, you can try a can for just $1. That's right, just $1. So go to www.fullyloadedchew.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. Just $1 and free shipping if you use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. So the next time you go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded Chew, and you can get it at fullyloadedchew.com. All right, so we welcome Taylor Blake Ward back into the podcast. He has been with us a couple of times, covers the Angels, used to host the Locked On Angels podcast, but is still putting out great Angels content every day. And Taylor, first of all, welcome back into Locked On Orioles.
Hey, appreciate it, man. Always good to see you. Always a pleasure to be on.
And so we have you on because we've got Orioles and Angels this weekend as the O's head out back to the West Coast and to Anaheim for a 3-game set. And, you know, I could just sit here and talk about how amazing Shohei Ohtani is for an entire episode, and that would probably be a pretty good Angels preview. But I figure let's have someone on who knows about the other 25 players that will be out there for Anaheim. But does that kind of seem what the Angels coverage is right now? You know, Trout is out. You know, Rendon's been kind of in and out of the lineup. Pujols is gone. Are Angels fans getting a feeling of this is Shohei's team right now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just the other day he had a game where he drove in 3 runs. He scored 2 runs. The Angels only scored 6 that game. He is definitely the leading force when it comes to the Angels. There was a period of time where Justin Upton was actually looking kind of reminiscent of Justin Upton of past, very unique. He was in the leadoff spot, and that really created something that we didn't know that Justin still had. And David Fletcher, obviously still exciting, kind of moves around in the lineup, but yeah, you look through the lineup, you look through the pitching staff. It is essentially when Shohei is pitching, when Shohei is hitting, that is the drawing force.
So we're recording this here on Wednesday. This series starts on Friday. So by the time, you know, people listen to this on Friday, Shohei could be, you know, up in the 30s in home runs, but he's got 28 right now. He just hit 2 on Tuesday night in a loss to the Yankees. And that's what I kind of want to ask you, because, you know, the joke about the Angels the last couple of years is Mike Trout goes 4-for-5 with 2 home runs, Angels lose 9-4. And like, some of it is becoming, you know, with Trout out, Ohtani doing that right now. And you know, what kind of is the state of the team? Because it's, you know, Shohei stealing the show at Yankee Stadium. He hits 2 homers, you know, a couple of bullets out to right field. And, you know, the Angels lose the game 11-5, and they seemingly couldn't get the Yankees out. And you kind of wasted a big day from Ohtani. Is that kind of happening, you know, a lot this year, like it has in the past, where, you know, people kind of make that reference to, you know, Trout had a big day and the Angels lost again.
I think within reason. I think on paper, as we went into the season, this team looked like a 80-something win team, whether that's 80 or 89, I think is, you know, based on opinion. But I think if you had the Angels winning somewhere in the 80s this year, I think that was reasonable. And this team was not meant for Mike Trout to go down for 2 months. This team was not built that way. Right now, they're hovering around 500. They have been for the last 2 weeks or so. And, you know, maybe that means they're going to be an 81-win team or an 80-win team as opposed to 89 and contend for that playoff spot. But, yeah, it really is. Pitching has been a problem for years, probably. And it's almost laughable because even when you had guys like C.J. Wilson in the rotation and, you know, Jared Weaver throwing 82, 83, the Angels' pitching was actually even better at that time. And it's unique to kind of say that the pitching has been the problem because you look at what the starting staff has done over the last month or so, and it hasn't been all that bad. It's actually, there's been times, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks straight where they looked promising and by the numbers and keeping the Angels in it. It's the bullpen. And that was the problem is the Angels addressed their bullpen over the offseason. They brought in Raisel Iglesias, Alex Claudio, Steve Cishek, Tony Watson, and it's just still been a problem. The pitching has just not matched up and kept the Angels out of it. Also, like I said, you know, Mike Trout out for 2 months. Team was not meant for that. Shohei stepping in and doing what he's doing is obviously remarkable and has filled that spot for Trout in a sense, which you can't replace Mike Trout, but you're doing a pretty good job of it with what Shohei's doing at the plate, what Justin was doing at the plate for a while there. But, yeah, it really does kind of come down to this roster. You look at the roster, I mean, you know, my namesake, Taylor Ward, absolutely love the guy, absolutely love him. He's been hitting in the three spot this year. He's playing center field. This is a guy that was drafted as a defensive first catcher who is now a pretty good outfielder, but, you know, you were never expecting to have him hit third in a major league lineup, and he is. You've got Phil Gosselin hitting, you know, cleanup at times. That is not something that the Angels were built for. And that's really been their struggle is Mike Trout being gone is very impactful. And the pitching still, like I said, it was addressed. But sometimes, you know, relievers are very volatile and that's kind of been the problem this year.
You mentioned some of those hitters, obviously, you know, Upton was solid. He's on the injured list. We know Trout won't be back until at least after the All-Star break. So the Orioles will not see him this weekend either. But it seems like the guy who is at least playing Robin to Ohtani's Batman since Trout has been out has been Jared Walsh. I mean, he's been having a pretty nice season at the plate. And has he at least kind of helped this offense stay afloat as that kind of number two option with Mike Trout out?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the story of Jared Walsh is kind of remarkable. He was a 39th round pick. I had a former teammate of his text me when he got drafted and said, hey, this guy's going to hit his way to the majors. And I was like, 39th round, we'll see, you know, and I kind of watched him and he did hit his way to the majors, but you started thinking, you're like, yeah, this is going to be a guy that goes up and down. There's a bench guy, you know, possibly. And he made an adjustment last year. We saw what he did in September last year. It was absolutely remarkable. And he carried that into this year. The changes he made just quieting his hands have really turned him into a very polished hitter. You know, you can kind of expect him to be an above average hitter for the foreseeable future. The power is always true. He's going to run into 20, 30 home runs, possibly even. And this guy, you know, I think when it comes to just listening to what the Angels brass, the Angels fan base is kind of upset about is that he was not a top three finalist for the first base vote with the All-Star game. And just looking at the numbers, I got to admit, I was a bit surprised he wasn't in the top three. No one's going to dethrone Vlad Jr. That's, you know, all respect to Vlad Jr. He is the best first baseman in the league, possibly the most valuable player. You know, there's arguments to be made there at this point. But yeah, Jared Walsh, definitely one of the top five or top four or top three, however you view it, first baseman in the league at this moment. Pretty remarkable what he's been able to do, especially as a 39th round pick.
Yeah, he's 20 doubles, 18 homers through 77 games. He's been really the number two option behind Ohtani, and we know, you know, it's been a little bit of a struggle for Anthony Rendon. And obviously when Trout gets back and if Rendon picks it up, like, this offense becomes a little more dangerous. But I did want to ask one more quick thing before we get over to the pitching side, which is always kind of the more interesting part of the Angels, just because, you know, it's a large group of guys they're throwing out there. But, you know, how is our old friend Jose Iglesias performing? And now, you know, halfway through the season that the Angels have him for, how have you and Angels people kind of viewed this trade now through half a season?
Well, obviously Jose is such a thrilling defensive player, and his defense has kind of been down from past results, which is interesting. Offensively, he's a sub average hitter in the league. I think he's simmering right around a 90 OPS plus, weighted runs created plus, whatever you put it by the analytics. But, you know, he makes contact. He doesn't walk a lot. So his on-base percentage is definitely just never going to be what you kind of want it to be. I think he's 290, 295, whatever it is, on-base percentage. He's run into a handful of home runs. You know, we're starting to see that power that he had kind of growing into 2019. It's kind of similar to what happened in 2019 with Cincinnati right before he went over to Baltimore, because what he did with – in that, you know, however many games they played last year with Jose Iglesias in Baltimore, he was, my gosh, he was remarkable. Kind of more back to what he was prior to that. And just a value guy. I mean, he's obviously made those spectacular defensive plays. He is the shortstop for the Angels, but definitely a guy that you want to see the defense kind of stay more consistent. And you want to see the bat pick up just a tick. I mean, if he can be a league average hitter, that's what you want from your shortstop, especially someone with the defensive capabilities that he has. But right now, I would say he's just kind of just slightly below what I think most people want him to be.
Yeah, and I think the Orioles have kind of felt, you know, okay about that trade at this point. I mean, he obviously is not hitting 380, which he was doing, you know, in the shortened season last year before the trade. And, you know, Garrett Stallings, the Orioles got back, he's had a solid year in high A, and Gene Pinto, the younger guy, just started playing in the what used to be called the GCL this week. So it'll be interesting to see how that trade plays out down the road. But I did want to get to the pitching, specifically the starting pitching, because we've talked so much about Shohei Ohtani. But he is pitching, or pitched Wednesday, I should say, as people are listening to this. So the Orioles aren't going to see Ohtani on the mound this weekend. And instead, you know, they could potentially, it looks like, now you can tell me if I'm wrong, but potentially see two former Orioles this weekend. Are Cobb and Bundy slated to pitch in this series?
I'm curious on Dylan Bundy. He, depending on how much you pay attention to videos on social media,
he lost
and
his
things
lunch.
Like that. He had himself a little bit of a rough outing on, Monday at Yankee Stadium. The heat kind of got to him. So we'll see kind of what happens there. He ended up getting a little sick there and had himself a viral moment that wasn't a pretty viral moment. So we'll see with Dylan Bundy. I'm not sure. We've got to look at the way – let's see. My math is – usually really good, but I don't think today my math is good. So there's a chance you can see Dylan Bundy. I'll just go with that chance. Alex Cobb, I believe you will be seeing Alex Cobb. Alex has been a lot better than ever expected. Obviously, what Jamai Jones is doing in AAA for Baltimore, I'm paying attention to that, and he's been remarkable. And I'm a bit surprised he hasn't been up just yet.
Oh, all of us are, Taylor. All of us are.
It seems like that's with a reasonable take is what. So I don't know. Do you call him Jam or do you call him Jamai?
We're at Jamai at this point. I think it's going to get to Jam once he gets to the big leagues, I'm assuming.
Gotcha. But Jamai just really change of scenery kid that the Angels did a lot of things with him that were not just unorthodox. A lot of swing changes, and it seems like he's found his footing. But I think the Angels brass can be somewhat happy with what they've gotten with Alex Cobb, especially if they can make a late season push. His splitter is always going to be effective. His fastball is kind of playing up. He's starting to pitch well. I guess finding consistency, again, is going to be the mark for Alex. But what he's shown so far, I think most people can kind of hang their hat on and say, yeah, this guy has gone out, competed every 5 or 6 days and done a fine job. Dylan's had a rough year. Dylan's had definitely a rough year, and we saw what last year was, and people are, you know, coming into the season saying Dylan Bundy could win the Cy Young in 2021 after his 2020 season, and that just hasn't been the case. So everyone's kind of waiting for Dylan to turn the corner, get back to what he has been. But you're seeing a lot of kind of the bad habits that Dylan had in prior years coming back.
Yeah, he's susceptible to the home run ball big time, and that's happening again. You know, he's allowed 15 of them.
So we're back to the Orioles talk in just a second, but first got to tell you about Built Bar and their 9 delicious flavors of protein bars. Now, you know the flavors by now, salted caramel, double chocolate, mint brownie. How about peanut butter brownie? That one's my favorite. But, you know, many of you may have your favorite Built Bars. If not, though, you can change that. Head over to BuiltBar.com and you can order a mixed box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. You can try them all, and then you can definitely pick your favorite flavor. But not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they're healthy too. That's really the best part. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. So get the raspberry or the mint brownie or peanut butter brownie or whatever you might like. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Now, we've got baseball season in full swing. Most of the teams just about hitting their halfway point. Good time to usually bet on some future odds for the big awards. And now the Orioles are playing the Angels this weekend. Might be a good time to bet on Shohei Ohtani to win AL MVP. He's putting up all the numbers to do it at this point. But it's not just baseball. You can get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including the NBA. You know, the conference finals, the Suns are now into the NBA finals, awaiting the winner of the Hawks and the Bucks. Also the NHL, as the Lightning and the Canadiens will square off in Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. So before the next pitch or puck drop or even tip-off, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. And while you're there, you can sign up to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. For the Orioles, you know, kind of the consensus is that Dylan Bundy trade so far is maybe the best deal that Mike Elias has made. The Orioles got 4 pitchers out of the Angels system who are all performing pretty well, most notably Kyle Bradish, who has already been promoted to AAA after basically not giving up any runs in his first, you know, I believe 4 starts in AA. And so I want to get the Angels side of this trade, you know, to give up 4 arms. And I know how good Bundy was last year, but it, you know, it didn't help them into the postseason. And now it's been kind of a struggle for him, as you said.
Yeah, I think initial gut reaction was you get a major league pitcher, you know, a starting pitcher for 4 arms that no one really knows what's going to happen with him. I mean, I was big on Kyle Brnovich. I thought he had a chance to be a reliever. Trying to think of everybody. Zach Peak was in that trade, if I'm remembering right.
Yep, Zach Peak, Kyle Brnovich, Kyle Bradish, and Isaac Mattson were the 4.
Ah, Isaac Mattson. I always liked Isaac. I liked Isaac in relief profile, but Kyle Bradish was kind of the guy. I got to see Kyle in 2019, the last time we were seeing ballparks, but I got to see Kyle a few times in 2019, and the delivery, I just sat there. I was like, man, I don't know about this. I just don't know. I mean, the spin rates definitely play, you know, you understand why he was taken in the 4th, 5th round. You understand everything that kind of came with it. But then you see what Kyle's doing now. The curveball is playing well. The fastball is playing up. The spin rate and the spin efficiency is starting to connect everything together. And you're starting to see that, yeah, this guy does have a chance to come in and maybe be a back of the rotation kind of arm, possibly even a mid reliever to, a, you know, a certain leverage reliever. So I think that people have knee-jerk reactions. They're always going to have these knee-jerk reactions, whatever it is. And when you trade minor league players that do, you know, have to continue through development, you have no idea what, you know, Mike Elias or Billy Epler or Perry Manassian or any of these guys have when it comes to a development plan. Obviously, Mike Elias saw what came with with what these guys, he had expectancies for these guys, and what Kyle Bradish is doing is kind of evening this trade for the Angels and Orioles here with Dylan Bundy, because if Kyle Bradish comes up and gives you 3-4 years of back of the rotation help or whatever it is, that's incredibly valuable. If Kyle Brnovich comes in and becomes a middle reliever, if Zach Peake comes in, if Isaac Mattson comes in, however it works, I think that things are steadily evening out and they may lean in the Orioles' direction in time. You know, obviously, if the Angels go out and extend Dylan Bundy and he can be, you know, a mid starter or back end starter, whatever, then things really even out. But right now, with Dylan Bundy having his struggles, I think things are going to – I think recent bias is going to play in, and I think people are going to say, oh, yeah, the Orioles won this trade, or, you know, last year it was the Angels dominated this trade, whatever it is. I think you're starting to see that these guys are really smart. These front office executives are incredibly smart. They know what's happening. The Angels needed help at the major league level. The Orioles needed help, you know, long-term development-wise. And you're starting to see that both of these guys made proper decisions between Billy Epler and Mike Elias.
Yeah, and on the Orioles side, you know, Orioles fans especially, I mean, there's really never been any ill will towards Dylan Bundy. And I think we're just hoping it becomes a win-win trade because, you know, everyone wants Dylan Bundy to succeed because, you know, how long he spent in the Orioles system and, you know, the Tommy Johns and all the injuries he went through to finally have success. And but on the other side, you know, Bradish has been very exciting. Brnovich just got promoted to Double A. That's been exciting as well. So, you know, hopefully it ends up as a win-win. But the last guy I wanted to ask you about quickly before I let you go, Taylor, is it looks like Patrick Sandoval probably start in this series. He started last on Sunday, and it doesn't look like, as we're talking, he's scheduled to start either of the final two games at Yankee Stadium for the Angels, which would make me think he'll start this weekend. Kind of where did his last few starts kind of come out of nowhere? Like, he had the 10 strikeout game and the 9 strikeout game. Like, is he just hitting a hot streak and he's gonna kind of go back to what he's been the last couple of years, or has he kind of turned himself into a new pitcher?
I think he's turned himself into a new pitcher. He's gotten older, he's understood, he's been through the majors, you know, a certain amount of time, and he's starting to kind of make the adjustments. Can Patrick go multiple times through a lineup? And that was always the question, because he's always been able to compete at the major league level. It's just, can you go through a third time? Can you go through a second time even through a major league lineup? And you're starting to see the way that he sequences, the way his command is improved, the way he sequences his pitches. And, you know, he's got a really special changeup. And for a lefty that has a changeup that way, that's going to be really effective for him long-term. And the breaking ball has made strides, so he's been able to kind of work both sides of the plate. But, I mean, turning the corner, what he's done over his last few starts, that's – I mean, he's got like a 2-something ERA, if I remember right. I mean, I don't think anyone expects him to be putting those numbers up long-term kind of thing. But realistically, this guy has become something that's really important to the Angels. You look at the Angels' rotation for 2022 – the guys under contract are Shohei Ohtani and Griffin Canning. That's it. So, you know, you have these guys like Patrick Sandoval and Jose Suarez starting to blossom a little bit, and that really impacts your future of 2022 and beyond. And I think Patrick Sandoval has started to do that, and he's starting to find ways to get through the lineup multiple times, which has been really important and made him an effective starting major league pitcher.
Well, Taylor, thank you so much for joining us to preview this Angels team. Because, like I said at the top, you know, I could just talk about Shohei Ohtani forever, but, you know, people want to know about the other 25 players that they're going to see in this series. But obviously, I am most excited to stay up, have an even better reason to stay up late and watch Ohtani play this weekend. I'm sure, you know, Mike Elias seems to love making trades with the Angels. I'm sure we'll have you back on when they strike a deal for a reliever or something at the deadline. But thanks again for joining the pod and letting us know about the 2021 Los Angeles Angels.
Absolutely, man. I can talk Connor Newcomb for the rest of the day. So I feel you. I appreciate you having me on, buddy.
So our thanks again go out to Taylor Blake Ward, who covers the Angels, used to host the Locked On Angels podcast, for joining us to preview this weekend's series. Again, starts tonight, a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series at Angel Stadium
in Anaheim. Starts tonight, a 9:38 p.m. Eastern time start. The left-hander Keegan Aiken is going to go for the Orioles in game one. For Aiken, looking to get back on track, as he gave up 6 runs and 4 1/3 innings in his last start in Buffalo. He will face off against Griffin Canning, the 25-year-old right-hander. We actually didn't talk about Canning with Taylor Blake Ward, but he's got a 4.95 ERA in 13 appearances, 60 innings this year. Gave up 2 runs over 5, struck out 4, walked 2, and allowed 6 hits in Tampa in his last start last week. Then the Saturday game is even later, 10:07 p.m. Eastern time start. It will be Jorge Lopez, who has been one of the Orioles' more consistent starters recently somehow. He will go for the O's. And our old friend Alex Cobb is going to pitch in the Saturday game. 33-year-old right-hander has a 5.09 ERA in 11 starts. Coming off a rough one in Tampa, though. 6 runs, 6 hits, 4 innings against the Rays. Then the Sunday game, a little more watchable, 4:07 p.m. Eastern time. Orioles will send Thomas Eshelman out there once again. And the Angels will send out the 24-year-old left-hander Patrick Sandoval, who we talked about, who has a 3.89 ERA in 44 innings this year. So that will be the series. We'll be back with you on Monday to recap the 3-game series in Anaheim, get you the 3 big takeaways from the weekend for the Orioles. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.